Things First is sponsored by Ram Trucks, built to serve.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to First Things First. I'm Jenna Wolf alongside Nick Wright, Kevin Wilds, and Eric Mangini is joining us on a Friday morning. Coach, it's great to have you back. We missed you. Got a lot to get to today. What do Tom Brady and Derek Jeter have a lot in common? Guess which former Cowboy wants to be a current Cowboy? But we start this morning with the latest New England Patriots rumor, and no surprise, it's about who could possibly replace Tom Brady. The Boston Globe released in a column that the, quote, stars seem to be aligning for New England to move up in the draft from where they are now at 23 into the top five in order to get Tua Tagovailoa. Would it be hard? Yes. But there is a path, and so there is a possibility. Nick, do you think this makes sense for the New England Patriots?
Well, this is a loaded question. It makes sense for 25 teams in football to want to get Tua Tagovailoa. If you don't have Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, the best of the best, Russell Wilson, then yeah, I'd want to try to get Tua Tagovailoa. And if right now my quarterback depth chart read Stidham, Hoyer, Kessler, of course I'd want to get Tua Tagovailoa. But is it plausible? I mean, the Patriots are sitting at 23. They don't have a second round pick. They only have one pick in the top 70. Miami's got six picks in the top 70 if they wanted to move up. The Wilds, I know you're so excited. Just a little contemporaneous history here. When Philly wanted to move up from eight into the top three, they had to trade the eighth pick, two thirds, another first, and a second. When Chicago wanted to move up from three to two, just to move up one spot, they had to include the third pick, obviously, along with two thirds and a fourth. So the price it would cost New England to move into the top five would be absolutely enormous. But yeah, Wilds, of course they should want Tua Tagovailoa. I believe he's a future superstar. And if you can get him, Wilds, you go get him.
I would be so happy if this happened. But I'd also be so happy for several quarterbacks. Like I brought this prop from my garage. I'm in the carrot top phase of my career now. So, Nick, well, this is what we do. This summer, in the fall, we enter something called the Snapper Derby. And what the Snapper Derby does is you have to catch the biggest snapper under a pound. And their snappers are like baby bluefish. And they're small and they're headed south. And they are so small and vulnerable, they need to fatten up and they'll bite at anything. You could put a little piece of squid on there. You could put this like a popper on there. Or if nothing else works, you can just throw the hook in there and they will bite it. That is me. And I can't tell whether I'm biting a real story or just an old hook. Because here's my dream Patriots depth chart at this point. And check in because it changes every 12 hours when I see a Photoshop on Twitter. Number five, Jalen Hurts. I absolutely love him. The Saban connection, perfect. Number four, Stidham, Hoyer. I don't even know if they did one of those wrestling things where they just put the same jersey in a different guy like the Killer Bees used to do. I don't know. I don't think I'd be able to tell the difference. Number three, Tom Brady pulls a Bill Belichick with the Jets and comes back. It's happened before. Just saying. Happened with Josh McDaniels a little bit with the Colts. Number two, Tua. I'm happy to move him to number one, but right now I still have my heart set on Cam, mostly because the Cam Photoshops are more advanced at this point than the Tua Photoshops. If this afternoon the Tua Photoshops move up, I'm moving Tua to number one, Jenna. So I don't know what I'm doing. I will bite any hook that someone throws out there in the media. So maybe, Jenna, coach can like calm me down or fire me up. I'm not even sure what we're going for in the show.
I don't know if either of those are even possible at this point. But coach, let me just reset for a second. Two questions for you. One, how hard is it for a team to move up, like the Patriots are at 23, into the top five? In order to get a guy like Tua? And is Tua even a good fit for the New England Patriots in that system? Can you tackle both those questions for me?
You know, first of all, I want to just thank Kevin for his carrot top reference. You don't get a lot of those these days, so that was good. In terms of it being a fit, it could be a really good fit. And the relationship with Nick Saban helps them get good information in terms of where he is physically, what he is, what he's like as a player. And in this environment where you can't spend time with the players, having sound information on an investment like that is the most important thing you could have. The fact that he also played for Brian Daboll at one point at Alabama helps too, from a system fit, from an overall fit in terms of culture as well. Now, all that being said, I find it very hard to believe that the Patriots would give up tremendous draft value to go get this guy. It's not what they do. Now, they haven't drafted, or they hadn't drafted a wide receiver in 20 plus years, or Bill hadn't, and they changed that last year. So it's not impossible, but it's not really what they do. They're in the business of trading back more than trading up. And you even see the players that they've gone and replaced Tom Brady with have been lower value guys. It's hard to think that they would give up what they'd need to give up in order to move up and try to get Tua.
So here's, though, Coach, is my favorite part of the Patriots quarterback palace intrigue at this point. It is revealing that the most diehard Patriot fans and a lot of people that attacked me all year long actually deep down in their heart of hearts agreed with me all along that the problem for the Patriots last year on offense was their quarterback. Because I don't know, Kevin Wildes, if you've noticed this, but of your starting 11 offensive players last year, 10 of them are the exact same right now heading into next year. Your big off-season free agent acquisitions are a fullback. I know that got Coach super excited. He texted me about it. Dan Vitale bringing the Patriots back to prominence. Someone named Demir Byrd and a Brian Hoyer. Offensive line, all the same. Starting receivers, Harry and Sanu, the same. Those tight ends, remember the tight ends were the problem. That's why Brady wasn't any good. All the same. But all of a sudden, you plug in a real live quarterback like Cam Newton, who, by the way, you had above Tom Brady in your dream quarterback depth chart. You feel good. You plug in a rookie quarterback coming off a broken hip. You feel awesome. Brady's already moved to third in your heart and third on your depth chart. So I heard all year long, the problem was the weapons. The problem was the offensive line. The Patriots have addressed none of that and are now at least public, or at least it's being speculated, they might trade away ways to address some of those things in the draft to do what, Wildes? Fix the actual problem of last year, which was crummy quarterback play. So it's a long way to say, I'm glad you're finally agreeing with me that last year Brady was the issue.
No, nobody's agreeing with you, Nick.
Okay. Go, Coach.
All right, Kevin.
Go ahead, Coach.
What I was saying is nobody's necessarily agreeing with you, Nick. It's more a function of Patriots fans need to find some solace in the fact that they've lost Tom Brady. So now they're, whether it's a rookie quarterback, whether it's a free agent quarterback, they want to try to fill the void that's been left by Tom leaving. And it wasn't just a function of the Patriots moving on. It was a function of both sides moving on. So it's not them saying Tom was strictly the problem. I don't think that's the case at all. And then this article is like a lot of articles. There's going to be people throwing stuff out there, wild scenarios that could potentially happen if all the stars align. But the reality is it's not even close to being a reality.
But Wildes, you're on board with this, and maybe it's because you want to be on board with this.
Jenna, any port in the storm? I'm in a bad spot right now, and I think I'm trying to get down to the root causes of it. So I'm going to throw it back to Coach, because these are the kind of two philosophies that I can't figure out. One, football is a win-now league. Belichick's always focused right here. We're on to whatever our next week's opponent is. And then this other big kind of thing over here is like, we're going to have $100 million in cap space. We're looking towards the future. So, Coach, tell me what I should be believing. Are we actually competing for a Super Bowl next year? Or am I like on Tua watch, which I don't think we get a Super Bowl next year? Because then I start to get into like, you know, Trevor Lawrence watch. I don't know where I'm at. And then like that young Peyton's nephew watch. Like, I don't know where I am. So just tell me where I should be as a Patriots fan.
Well, look, the great organizations do both. They plan for the future and they try to win right now. And then that's what's made New England a great organization. They're not going to mortgage the future to just win this season, but they're going to do everything they can year in and year out to be competitive, and it's worked. So you can't see the two as being mutually exclusive. You got to look at it as being a huge benefit that Bill has the ability to navigate through each of those scenarios.
Can I say something about this, Jenna? What's the other element to this story? Why are people discussing the Patriots even being able, Jenna, to move into the top five? What's the team that's being speculated they could work with here, Jenna?
So I'm glad you asked. And the reason is there's a lot of front office folk who are tied to New England. Bob Quinn, their general manager, obviously Matt Patricia, their head coach. I know Patricia and Bill Belichick are rumored to still vacation together. There's this crazy rumor out there that if things don't work out for them, that this is a must-win year season for those guys, for Quinn and Patricia, that they could eventually rejoin Belichick on his staff. And then obviously you have the connection between Saban and Tua. It seems like it's more than just do they have the capital to move up to number five. There are a lot of other issues in place, Nick.
Right. Well, exactly. That to move up into the top five ahead of Miami, trade with Detroit. That's the team you're talking about. A team since Bob Quinn, after spending 15 years in New England, he's made 7 trades with the Patriots. Matt Patricia, you mentioned it. They supposedly, he and Belichick still vacation together. And I think folks see that and they say, well, of course, that's ridiculous. No team is going to cut their former employer or where they have some loyalties a break in a trade. The only way New England could actually move it into number three is if that is exactly what happened. And while I know folks are quick to poo-poo it and folks are quick to say that would never happen in pro sports, I don't need to go very far back in history, and I don't need to go anywhere else geographically to a different team in Boston, the Celtics, who won their only title in the last 30 years. How? Because former Celtic Kevin McHale said, hey, I don't know what to do with this Kevin Garnett fella. I mean, he's one of the 24 greatest players of all time. He's a former league MVP. He's the best player in the history of our franchise. You want him for Big Al Jefferson, Danny Ainge, you know, my old locker room buddy. So I've seen that happen. And I say all that to say this. If Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia gift Tua Tagovailoa to the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick for the 23rd pick, a third-round pick, and Julian bleeping Edelman, I'm out. I don't know if I'll be able to watch the sport again because I can't deal with the idea of it. I'm out on everything. If they end up being gifted to a Tagovailoa because Patricia's like, well, probably getting fired here anyway. This would be one hell of a cover letter for my resume. I gave you Tua. Can't happen. Don't even want to conceptualize it. Letting you know now.
Nick's out. Nick, what are you going to do, Nick?
Nick's out.
I don't know, man.
Nick.
Go live in a yurt. Out.
We got to leave it there and take a break. Back here, First Things First, look who's joining us. Super Bowl champ, Chris Candy. Chris, thanks so much for being here. Hope you and your family are well, and we appreciate your pleasant face this morning. Let's get right into it. We're going to play a little drawing a blank right now. Dez Bryant, the latest athlete to make a bid for a job in the NFL next season, tweeting this out yesterday. Dak and myself just finished a great workout session, picked up where we left off. Well, that had us thinking, Nick, a Dez Cowboys reunion would be blank.
Pointless. And I know that sounds harsh to Dez Bryant, but at this point, especially with the Dallas Cowboys, when you've got Gallup on the outside, an ascending player, Cooper on the other side, on the outside, a guy you just gave $100 million to. The only spot in the receiving core they have real questions about is the slot receiver with Randall Cobb going to the Texans. Dez Bryant ain't playing the slot. I don't know if Dez Bryant's playing the X or the Y, but they don't have availability there. He's certainly not playing the slot. He's been out of the league for a few years now. So sorry, Dez, but Canty, I say a Dez and Dak reunion would be pointless.
As much as I hate to agree with Nick Wright, I have to follow his lead on this one, although I used a different word. I'm going to go with charity. I know the Jones family does a lot of charity work with the Salvation Army, Jerry and Gene Jones at the front, but I don't think that Jerry has this kind of charity in mind when he's looking at the 2020 football season. Dez Bryant can't help the football team. And NFL teams aren't in the business of handing over roster spots to guys that can't help the team, but especially guys that are 2 years removed from football coming off a major injury at a position that requires some explosiveness. So I just don't see a reunion with Dez and the Dallas Cowboys. I'm sure he's pushing for it, but I don't see it happening.
Jenna, I'm going to go with Crabtree-esque. Like, maybe it doesn't work in Dallas just like it didn't work in San Francisco for Michael Crabtree. The Achilles is bad, but give it some time, give it some time, give it some time. Crabtree still came back with the Raiders, had 9 TDs, 900 yards, so I'm not giving up hope that we can see Dez back on an NFL field at some point.
Dez has to get back to just working out with every single quarterback in the league. He'll land somewhere. On to the Browns now. New head coach Kevin Stefanski came out and said he, quote, believes in Baker Mayfield. And while that may be true, he also knows Baker finished the season last year with 21 interceptions and 40 sacks. So, Nick, Stefanski saying he believes in Baker is blank.
It's reassuring. It's reassuring for me. It's reassuring for Baker. It's reassuring for fans of Cleveland. And maybe most importantly, reassuring for fans of this show. Because I know Jenna Wolf, and now I also know Kevin Wilds, are just dying for some gasoline to be squirted on the embers that is Case Keenum's NFL career. And hearing Stefanski wrap his arms around Baker is absolutely reassuring to me. And Chris Canty, I believe this year we are going to get a 16-game and maybe more if they make the playoffs full sample of how bad of an NFL head coach Freddie Kitchens was. By the way, I think he's now on your New York Giants staff, but I might be wrong about that. I think everything that was wrong with the Browns is going to be laid at the feet of Freddie Kitchens. Baker's going to bounce back. Stefanski's going to show why he was once thought of as one of the brightest offensive minds in the league. So, Canty, for me, this is all reassuring.
Yeah, I think it's requisite when you start talking about Stefanski's belief in Baker Mayfield. He wouldn't have got the job if he didn't think he could get the best out of the quarterback, if he didn't think there were some good raw materials to work with. Yeah, I know Freddie Kitchens is with the New York Giants, but as long as he's not the head coach or the offensive coordinator, I'm cool with that. And that's the situation for Daniel Jones. But in looking at Baker Mayfield, this whole offseason was about being able to support the quarterback. He's already on his third coach in as many seasons in the NFL. He's got to get his career on track, and he's got to have some consistency. So I like the fact that Stefanski is verbalizing his belief in the player.
Yeah, so Jenna, I'm going with two words, flammable and inflammable. They sound like the opposite, but they actually mean the exact same thing. So if you say, I believe in Baker and I don't believe in Baker, they both mean that you don't believe in Baker. Like Bill Belichick was never like, I believe in Tom Brady. You don't have to say that. And a friendly reminder, everybody's on Case Keenum watches right now. The bandwagon is just me, Jenna, and unfortunately, Stefanski. Yeah. He went 11-3 in Minnesota when Stefanski was a quarterback's coach. So watch out. Yep. Get on that Case Keenum bandwagon. Plenty of room.
But hurry up, though, because that room's going to run out real fast. Moving on to Jameis Winston
now. When it crashes on the side of the road in fire, it'll run out of room. Sorry, go ahead.
Hey, when was the last time a bandwagon did that? The 26-year-old Jameis Winston, free agent quarterback, still looking for a place to call his football home. Get this, one NFL executive thinks he'd be a perfect fit in Pittsburgh. So, Nick, Jameis to the Steelers would be blank.
Very intriguing. We talked about this last week. I love two spots for Jameis. One, Dallas as a chess move in the negotiations with Dak Prescott. Like, oh, Dak, go ahead, don't sign our $100 million offer. We've got a former number one overall pick here. But if they don't do that, the Steelers make an immense amount of sense. First of all, Jameis's game and body has always somewhat mirrored Big Ben. Big Ben's just done it at a much higher level. Also, the list of quarterbacks to successfully come off Tommy John surgery I think it's Jake Delhomme, and that's it. And even Delhomme's results were mixed. We don't know how healthy Big Ben is. We do know how old Big Ben is, and we don't know what Big Ben weighs. So if there's any place that might need a backup quarterback that might actually need to start some games, I think it's Tampa. I also think it's a great place for Jameis to try to rebuild his value. They don't need Canty. Great quarterback play in Pittsburgh. I said Tampa, pardon me. In Pittsburgh, they just need someone steady. I don't know if Jameis is that right now, but he's better than Duck. He's better than Mason Rudolph. So to me, this would be very intriguing, Canty.
Yeah, Nick, I've been on that train for some time now. Ever since it was obvious that the Tampa Bay Bucs weren't going to resign Jameis Winston, I felt like the ideal fit, and that's the word I'm going to use, ideal, was Jameis Winston to go to Pittsburgh. He can back up Ben Roethlisberger for the couple of years that he's got left up there in Pittsburgh. But most importantly, he gets to go to an organization that has some stability. The Pittsburgh Steelers have had three head coaches in the last 50 years, so the organization is a model for stability. It feels like their general manager, Kevin Colbert, and their head coach, Mike Tomlin, are in lockstep. And that's exactly what Jameis Winston needs right now. Keep in mind, Ben Roethlisberger had some maturity issues earlier on in his career, and they still found a way to get him to work past it and to have success with him. The talent with Jameis is undeniable. You just got to clean up some of the mistakes on and off the field. I feel like Pittsburgh is the right place to try to do that.
Jen, I'm going to go with interception bonanza. From 2015 to 2018, Jameis had the second most interceptions in the league. You know who had the first? Big Ben. It's great. Put them together. It'll be an interception bonanza. It would be just wonderful for the opponents and all the DBs who can have some souvenirs once they head to Pittsburgh.
Nick, I agree with you. It's rare for a quarterback to come off Tommy John surgery. Let's see what role Jameis does actually slide into there if he does go to Pittsburgh. All right, moving on to the NFC East now. Tom Brady might be gone, AFC East rather, but Bills GM Brandon Bean has not stopped fearing Brady's former team, saying, quote, the team to beat in the AFC East is the Patriots.
There we go.
Don't forget, New England has won the last 11 division titles. So, Nick, the Bills GM saying the Pats are the team to beat in the East is blank.
It's obvious. Now, they have won the last 11 division titles, but it's been more than 20 years since they won a division title without Tom Brady. So I understand why some people say, maybe we have a chance, but I don't think you really do have a chance. The Bills, you know what Brandon Bean knows deep down in his heart of hearts? His quarterback is still Josh Allen. So you can't be the favorite in any division, even though Josh Allen played better at the end of last year with Josh Allen as your quarterback. Sam Darnold still seeing ghosts, and we don't know what Miami's doing. The Patriots won 12 games and the division last year with below league average quarterback play. Why can't they do something similar? I think it only takes 10 wins to win the division. That defense, Canty, can win 10 games by itself. I don't know if Buffalo is going to take the next step that they would need to take to overtake New England. So I say it's obvious, Chris Canty.
My word for this is expected. And even though it's similar to what yours is, I'm going to take a different slant on it. I think that this is what the Bills GM has to do in order to get his young upstart football team to focus on a goal. I think that the Buffalo Bills are trying to get to that position where they're consistently competing for the postseason. They're trying to emulate what they've seen for the New England Patriots the past two decades. And Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean both know that in program building, it's important to make sure that you set a standard, that you establish clear goals. And I think by him coming out and saying this gives a little bit of motivation to his guys in an offseason of uncertainty, in an offseason where you're not going to have OTAs, minicamp, and off-season conditioning program. I think this is a little bit of a motivational tool by the general manager for his club.
Jenna, I'm going with this is a soothing balm for me. I've got a lot of wounds from the Tom Brady exit, but it's a soothing balm. The world is going back to how it used to be. We're fine. And we actually looked up with our researcher, our new quarterback, Tua, was only 10 years old the last time that he didn't see the Patriots win the AFC East. So I think he's going to look and be like, oh, yep, we'll keep winning. He doesn't really have a memory of us not winning. So welcome to the team, Tua. We're happy to have you, keep the tradition going.
Good to hear Wilds is a Dolphins more fan than now, talking about us morning. And ours with Tua. That's fascinating.
Let us finish up with Tom Brady. He is officially moving into his new 30,000 square foot waterfront Tampa home, valued at $14 million. A local real estate expert says the rent would be at $75,000 a month. Oh, and the landlord? Derek Jeter. Yeah, that Derek Jeter. Nick, Brady moving into Jeter's Tampa mansion is blank.
Well, for this Tom Brady 2.0, it's very on brand. It's very on brand for the guy who hijacked the Super Bowl news cycle to promote some, to do some commercial the Friday before the Super Bowl. And for a guy who now currently tweets in the third person about warm weather Tom letting loose on the Howard Stern show, it's very on brand to go to a city and say, what is the single most opulent thing I can purchase? I've got all this extra money because I just jacked Chris Godwin for his number instead of giving him money so he could afford a house like this for at least a month. So, hey, let's spin it on Rick. It's very on brand for Tom Brady 2.0. I'm excited to see what's next. Maybe Odell can hook him up with one of those watches he wore during the game. That, I assume, is the next thing here. But yeah, Canty, I think this is on brand. It's perfect for the new and improved Tom Brady.
Now, Nick, do we actually know whether or not Tom Brady is paying rent, or is Derek Jeter just doing him a solid?
Oh, you know, Canty, it's a great question.
That's another thing.
Because the new and improved Tom Brady, we now know with the Godwin fiasco, likes to take things of immense value and pay nothing for them. So maybe he's just squatting. You know what? It's a great question, Quanny. Canny. Maybe he's squatting. I'm not certain. But go ahead.
I'm going to use the word stately to describe this. Stately, it's a palatial residence. I think that's the only word that you can go with. You're talking about a crib that has a tax value of over $200,000 a year. Think about that. Putting a bill for $200,000 a year just in taxes. That is unbelievable. But guess what? House with Tom Brady roll. It makes all the sense in the world. Stately.
All right. You ready for this? This is a real psychosis I'm about to unveil. Uh-huh. I think Tom Brady's going to walk around that house and see all the Yankee stuff. He's not going to see any like Colorado Rockies Jeter jerseys. He's going to see the one modern athlete who has stayed with his team from minor leagues all the way till now. And I think he'll be like, wow, maybe I should go back to the Patriots. That's the real psychosis
I'm
living
in. So what's your word?
That's true. He's role model.
Yeah, your word is?
Jeter's the role model for Brady.
Oh,
it's good. It's a good role model.
Listen,
role model.
Brady's a winner. He wants to go down and live in a place where with winning walls and winning foundation. And he found Jeter's house and he's set. And that's where he's going to be. Got to take a break. Coming up, WWE superstar Kofi Kingston joins us to discuss this weekend's WrestleMania action. That is next on First Things First. WWE superstar Kofi Kingston joining us this morning. Kofi, good morning. Thank you for being with us. I want to jump right in. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah,
yes. Light
yeah.
the mood
I'll
for
raise,
all
I'll
of
raise
us.
It up. I'll raise it up.
Speaking of that, I'll raise it all the way up, Kofi, which you will be doing at the event. Tell me about the opportunity to be able to entertain people during these difficult times. Clearly, your personality is ready to just sort of jump out there.
Yeah, for sure. This is something that we take a lot of pride in, being able to entertain people throughout any kind of tough times that they might be having. You know, that's been WWE pretty much 101 for, you know, however long. But it's just important to be able to provide a sense of levity, you know, and to be a person that is on this WrestleMania. It's probably like one of, if not the most unique WrestleManias in the history of WrestleManias. But at the same time, you know, with the, no crowd or whatever, but at the same time, it's something that like we are, you know, it's just so unique, you know, so to be on that card is it's going to be great. And, you know, we take a lot of pride in just bringing that energy, and it's still WrestleMania for us. So I think the show is going to be great. It's going to be 2 days, which has never happened before either. Gronk as the host, you know, me being a Patriots fan. And as a matter of fact, So I just watched you guys' segment just before. And like when I was thinking about the questions that you guys might ask me for this interview, I was like, oh, man, they probably might ask me about Brady. They might ask me about the Patriots. I'm like, man, what if we got Tua? I start, hand to God, you know? And then I wake up, send the, you know, the Boston Globe has this article about this possibility. So this is why you, like, you put these things out into the universe, you know? You affirm. My mom always says affirmation is key. And now here we are, you know? I don't want to get my hopes up. But, man, if we got Tua, boy, come on, man. Come on. Let's go.
Well, I know we're going to get into Gronk and the Tom Brady or Tua later in our discussion, but I want to ask you about this weekend in this regard. A huge part of your story has been the embrace of the fans, the way the fans have embraced you, not only from their couches, but in the arena. The pop you get in the crowd is one of the things that really skyrocketed you to real superstardom. WrestleMania this year is in a very unique place, as we all are, as we're dealing with this pandemic. How much more incumbent is it going to be on the superstars to bring even extra energy because there's no crowd? And how much tougher is that as a superstar when you don't hear the crowd either chanting or booing, but you've got to deliver it because people are doing that on their couches? You just can't see them and hear them.
It's definitely a lot different. I'm not going to lie, Nick, when we were out there, you know, it's just different. Like you said, we thrive off the crowd. It's such a huge part, probably the biggest part of what we do. But at the same time, like as performers, we have this internal sense of, I guess, where the crowd should be. And for myself, like I told you, like when I was on the show like a while ago, this is all I've ever wanted to do. So anytime I get into a ring and I start getting in there again with guys like the Usos or guys like Miz and Morrison, who are so good at what they do, you can't help but feel energized, and that energy just carries out throughout the arena. Regardless, we always say, like, we put on the best show if you have one person in the crowd or you have a million people in the crowd. The energy from us is always the same. You always want to go all out. Obviously, the crowd helps that, but our energy doesn't really change, you know? So, and then in the back of our minds, we know that we are providing that sense of relief for people, a distraction, you know, and a sense of entertainment that the WWE always brings. So you feed off of that, you know, and I think that people are going to be pleasantly surprised with the way that WrestleMania is this year, even though it is different.
Kofi, you talked about the historical importance of WrestleMania. You, of course, won your belt last year at WrestleMania. How important was it for you to win at WrestleMania? You could have won it a lot of ways, but you won it at WrestleMania, just like a lot of the heroes that you saw growing up.
Yeah, for me, it was stereotypically a childhood dream that came true. You couldn't have written a better story. The way that it happened, it was just so organic. It wasn't supposed to happen. And it was the crowd that gave the fuel and the energy for it to progress week after week. Kofi Mania is what a lot of people referred to last year's WrestleMania as. And as a performer, that's what you strive for. You want to have a moment that reaches so many people, that affects so many people in so many different ways. So, yeah, for me, that's what that was. And, like, I'm getting goosebumps here, like, talking about it in my house with nobody in the room. My kids might walk in at any given moment, by the way. They're probably about to wake up pretty soon. But it still blows my mind that even a year later, thinking about the effect that match and my victory there and winning the WWE Championship had on so many different people, I get messages on Twitter all the time. It's hard to believe that it was a year ago, because it really does feel like yesterday that I was in there with Woods and E and 85,000 people and my family in the crowd and my kids getting in the ring with me and my oldest son throwing out a T-shirt, you know, to everybody. It's just it's incredible. It is truly incredible. And even like I said, a full year later, here we are, and it still feels as amazing as it did the night that I won.
Kofi, this is really cool. On top of everything else you're doing, you're now starring in a Netflix film called The Main Event, about an 11-year-old boy who discovers a mask and goes on to become a WWE superstar. Tell us about the experience. What was the whole thing like? What was it like filming this?
It was awesome. I think a lot of people, the natural transition, like from being a WWE superstar to post-WWE, everyone always talks about, oh, well, you're going to go into acting, right? You're going to go into Hollywood. And to me, they're very different things. They're very different entities in the way that you approach it. And I wasn't sure if I wanted to go that route. But I think that like this was the perfect way to kind of get my feet wet. I'm playing myself in the movie. I had an amazing, there was an amazing cast there. You know, it's just, it was crazy. It was awesome. And, you know, myself, I'm in it. Sheamus is in it. It's a story about a boy who finds like a magical lucha mask and he gets all these wrestling powers. You know what I mean? And he's able to go out and like live out his dream. And I just happen to meet the character that he looks up to in the movie. So he's wearing my shirt. He's, you know, his grandmother is in love with me, you know? So it's an awesome, like just a fun story that comes out on Netflix. And the timing actually couldn't be any better because with everybody being indoors, a lot of people are watching Netflix, you know? So I think this story is going to be able to bring people a lot of, just a lot of joy. It's like your feel good, like if you're a kid who wants to be a wrestler, this is kind of the story that you want to, you know, that you want to be involved with. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it was great. What's up, man?
Kofi, our colleague at Fox Sports, future NFL Hall of Famer Rob Gronkowski, you mentioned him earlier. He obviously has a huge part with WrestleMania. I am curious if he decided to go full bore. Oh, look at that guy. I didn't even see him there. What's up, man?
He jumped. I told you he was going
to
wake up.
He decided to go full bore. Yeah, absolutely. We were too loud. WWE superstar. You think Gronk has it in him if he wanted to drop the mic and try to get in the ring with you guys?
Oh, yeah, 100%. I had the opportunity to cross paths with him as all the things were going on. And Gronk, definitely, his personality is such that, you know, when he got in the ring a few years ago in the Andre Memorial Battle Royal, he just looked like he belonged. You know what I mean? So, yeah, he's got it on the mic. He's got the charisma. He's got the size. He's got the energy. And I think he's been wanting to do this for a real, real long time. So we'll see what happens after he hosts, but I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up in the ring at some point soon.
Kofi, Bill Belichick is a champion. You're a champion. As champion to champion, if you call Belichick, what do you want to do at quarterback now?
Ooh, how can I tell Bill Belichick what to do? I'm the guy who is like, I've been so blessed as from my childhood all the way up until now to have experienced like such a winning tradition. And I'm so spoiled. You know, I've been to 9 Super Bowls. You know what I'm saying? And I say that because I feel like I was on the field with my boys. You know what I'm saying? And you know, I've won 6 of them. There are so many of my friends who haven't even sniffed the Super Bowl. They haven't sniffed the playoffs. I mean, Kansas City hadn't won the Super Bowl in 50 years. I don't know what that feels like. And that's all because of Bill Belichick and his plan, you know, and the system. You know what I'm saying? So so I can't, I don't know, man. I'm always one to just trust in the system. And I think that Belichick knows what he's doing, you know, and as sad as it was to see Tom Brady go, I feel like he's given me so much as a fan of the Patriots that if he wants to go off and prove himself somewhere else and he wants to do other things, I feel like he's earned that right. You know, so we'll see, man. It's a very long-winded answer to say that, you know, to beat around the bush here and not give. I gave you a non-answer. You know, I'm not going to give
Kofi,
Bill Belichick any
kind of advice. I'm super excited for the adorable little boy on your lap, just like you got 2 uninterrupted decades of success in Super Bowls with Brady. He's going to get to grow up in the Jared Stidham era. And I'm sure it'll be just the same. And you and him will be able to compare memories of the Brady era you grew up in.
Kofi, introduce him quickly.
That adorable little boy is about to come of age into.
This is my son, Kai, and he might be getting into the Jared Stidham era. But I think a lot of people might have said the same thing about Brady when Bledsoe went out. Oh, so long ago. And I'm not saying that Stidham is Brady by any means, but let's give Stidham a chance before everybody starts throwing all these pot shots and making these jokes. You know what I mean? We'll see, man. We'll see. When it comes to the Patriots, I have faith. I have faith. You know, our defense is still tight. So hopefully Stidham can grow and become Tom Brady-esque. And maybe he'll come on the show and make you eat those words, Nick. You know? Make you eat those words.
Wouldn't we love that? Hey, Kai, it's great to meet you. We love seeing you. We love the work your dad does. Kofi, thank you so much. You're such a great personality. So much to contribute. We really appreciate speaking to you this morning. Good luck this weekend at WrestleMania. We'll be watching.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys.
We have to take a break. Back here with Coach Mangini. Time for stories to start your morning. So the Chiefs have reached a deal with wide receiver Sammy Watkins. One-year deal, $9 million in base pay with incentives that could reach $16 million. The move does create $5 million in cap space for KC. Nick, good move by the Chiefs?
Oh, my friend Jenna Wolf, Kevin Wild's Coach Mangini. That sound you just heard was 31 other teams waking up this morning. Cursing, stopping their feet and saying, the hell we gonna do now? Everybody's back. Chris Jones, thought we might lose him. Franchise tagging. Sammy Watkins, I was sure we were gonna lose him. Let's restructure the deal, bring him back. Playoff elite performer Sammy Watkins, by the way. 5 playoff games with the Chiefs, nearly 500 yards. The touchdown that sealed the AFC Championship game and burning Richard Sherman on the deep route that set up the game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl. Wild, you remember after the Warriors got Durant, there was talk around the NBA, will teams just punt on the next couple years and look to the following few seasons because they know they can't win? I feel like we might be entering that era in the NFL. Our team's going to say, well, we know what's happening in 2020. They did it to us last year. They're going to do it again. They brought everyone back. So that's how happy I am and how sad you, Kevin Wilds, as a Patriot fan, is this morning.
You know, Jenna, I feel like we're in a tough spot, you and I, because if Nick is wrong, I don't think the show works. But also when he's right, it puts us in a bad spot because we have nowhere to go. So we're sort of like in this quagmire. I unfortunately think Nick is 100% right. As soon as I was like, well, they're not going to have Sammy Watkins because Nick told me they weren't going to get Sammy Watkins. But once they start restructuring deals like the Patriots were so great at, I think the whole league is in trouble. And I think personally, Jenna, you and I are in trouble if this is what we've got for the next year.
That's why we have Coach Mangini out here. Go, Coach. Set us all straight.
Well, the good thing, Kevin, is the show does work when Nick is wrong, because Nick is wrong all the time. With this situation right
and
here.
And we're still on the air.
with this situation, they need to restructure his contract. He had yet 90 targets. His catch percentage was down to 57%, down significantly from the year before. So he was very productive, and he's a good part of the offense, but Nick is under this illusion that they can just play the way they played last year and win the Super Bowl again. And that's what happens people think that you just do what you did last year and it's good enough. You don't get to start a Super Bowl champion. You have to do all the things that you did last year better because everybody now is studying you. But look, they'll make the same mistake that 8 million other Super Bowl champions have made, except for New England, who's been able to do it back-to-back. And they'll have this whole air of superiority. And at the end of the day, when they get knocked out of the playoffs or end up wherever they end up, they'll all wonder, how did that happen?
Nick, hangover. Sorry. On to free agent Jameis Winston. Now, an NFL exec said he thinks Winston would be a perfect fit in Pittsburgh's offense. Nick, you buying Jameis to the Steelers?
I'll be very quick here because I want to make sure we have time for our last question. I'm buying it. I think it's a perfect fit because he doesn't deserve right now to be a starting quarterback, but Ben Roethlisberger's 38, coming off Tommy John. And so I think it makes a lot of sense for him to go there, maybe try to rebuild some value, and he might have to play some games because even healthy Big Ben usually misses a game or two because he gets dinged up. So, Wilds, I think it's a perfect fit.
Yeah, I think it's a perfect fit for weird reasons, just because Big Ben throws a lot of interceptions, and Jameis certainly does too, so it'll fit right in at home there. Coach, what do you think?
I think it's a good fit. He's got to go wherever he's got a chance to potentially get some playing time and to potentially revive his career. Maybe it's, you know, the Rams. Maybe it's the Colts. I think that all three of those situations could be a fit for him.
All right, let's end with a little Tom Brady this morning. TB12 took to Twitter to announce he will be on the Howard Stern Show Wednesday, saying, quote, "Warm weather, Tom, let's loose." Nick, warm weather, Tom. Is this must-listen radio?
Oh, here we go. Why do we have to end
you know
the show
what?
Like
I'm going to throw a little wrench in the operation. I want Coach to go first. Let's go Coach Kevin me, because I'm just letting you know right now, I want to have the last word on this. So, Coach, you go first. Your thoughts on Tom Brady on the Howard Stern Show.
I love Tom Brady on the Howard Stern Show. I think Howard Stern's one of the best interviewers going, and I think he'll get a lot of really good stories and information out of Tom, and I like the fact that Tom's going to go on and talk about his story and the decisions that he's made. And look, I know your goal is to bash Tom Brady for the things that he does, but you have so little room to work that you can try to find some angle to attack him.
I think it's going to be a fascinating interview. I can't wait for it. But go ahead, Nick. I also can't wait for what you're going to say here. So let's hear it.
Listen, Quarantine Nick is excited to hear about warm weather, Tom. Super Bowl champion Nick is excited to hear about warm weather in Tampa, Tom. And I mean, listen, I'm just telling you right now, first things first, host Nick Wright is excited to see warm weather Tom Brady 2.0. The Tom Brady that says, when's the right time to release a commercial pimping a new product? Oh, how about 72 hours before the Super Bowl that's supposed to be about my former backup and the guy who's going to replace me as the greatest quarterback of all time? What's a good gift to give Chris Godwin for the only jersey number he's ever worn? How about nothing at all? And what's a good time to spill all the Patriots secrets? How about in third person from Derek Jeter's mansion on Howard Stern Show? I'm excited for it, Jenna Wolf.
George is getting upset. We gotta go. Have a great weekend, everyone. Stay safe and see you Monday.